Welcome to The Ziglar Show. I'm your host, Kevin Miller, and this is our Habits Show. What are the healthy habits of an emotional fitness sensei? Oh, I was curious too. Miles Adcox is our guest today, and after our main conversation with him in show 657, where we talked about emotional fitness, I was eager to walk through the seven spokes on the Ziglar Wheel of Life with him. Here's one thing. Longtime show listeners know I find great peace and roost in the outdoors. Well, Miles recently posted on Instagram. We talked about it in the show here. He said, "It's been in my blood for generations. I'm thankful for Mother Nature and her unique way of taking me back home." I was also intrigued to hear he has four guys he meets with three or four times a week to work out. But not just a physical workout. They also give focus to the emotional and spiritual aspects of their lives. A workout in those areas, in essence. And regarding his habits to keep relationships well, he says, a lot of repair work, meaning he realizes that rips are going to happen in relationships, and his priority is making sure he makes adequate reparations. So these and other inspiring issues in this show with Miles. Again, you can investigate your own emotional wellness and dig into that at onsiteworkshops.com. That's Miles' website URL, onsiteworkshops.com. Okay, friends, here then we go with Miles Adcox and his healthy habits for success. Well, Miles, being in the arena that you are, and I know in the first show you talked about that you don't necessarily want to just be labeled the counselor guy or whatnot, but you work in the arena of emotional health and habits being such a big part of that we're the sum of those, I know is probably a daily issue for you. So I'm even more interested to hear some of the things that you employ and try to employ in your own health and wellness in these areas. So we'll start off, and this is just the physical nutrition side. What are the things that you do in those areas to have as much health as you can?
I'm a foodie, and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico, and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon, really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm very much engaged, interested in exploring functional medicine. And I, both personally and professionally, meaning we're trying to use it as much as we're using traditional psychiatry on the behavioral health side. But I started, when I hit my mid-30s, I just started not feeling well. Mm. And my energy started to decline. I started having some skin issues. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I assumed, based on what I know, I usually always go, I don't look at the physical side first. I look at the emotional side first. And I'm like, I wonder what level of stress internally might be causing this. And instead of going to see a therapist, which I always kind of see, I decided to go see a functional medicine doc. Dr. Danny Williamson was my first doctor. And then since gotten to know Dr. Sarah Bomar as well. Both of them I highly respect. Uh-huh. Both of them are down in Franklin. And I love it. It's way more of a holistic.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've always looked at the behavioral and the physical health side of healthcare as a sickness model. And finally, someone came through the lens of a wellness model, and I was all over it. So I have done blood panels. I know what foods are good for my body and which ones aren't. I try to eat that way. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm making progress. Thankfully, my wife is a really clean eater, so she helps with that. And I go through seasons. Sometimes I really lay off what I know is not good for my brain, like a lot of sugar. And then some seasons I'll find myself doing not so well with that. But at the most part, it's just conscious eating, I think, is a big one on the health side.
How about just from a physical aspect? I know you're quite the outdoorsman. Does that kind of encompass your physical output, just being out in nature?
Yes and no. I mean, I exercise as well. I have to be stimulated to move, and I don't sit still well, so that requires a lot of stimulation. And what I mean by that is, as I said earlier, self-awareness, I've got to know who I am, and I've got ADD. I was diagnosed with that multiple times, and just to make sure I actually had it. And so traditional structure, wake up every morning and do 30, do this repetition of exercise, has never been a fit for me. So I have to make it innovative, engaging for me to actually want to do it. And I do that and mix some things that are more fun for me. So I've got a group of guys, there's four of us, that we work out together, usually 3 to 4 days a week when everybody's in town. And we'll do a spiritual, an emotional, and a physical health check-in every morning. We do all that in 1 hour. So we've got a trainer that trains us on the emotional side. I'm sorry, a trainer that trains us on the physical side. I, in a sense, I guess, would be the emotional trainer. And so I'll give them emotional health exercises. And then we do the mental side. But because I prefer spiritual and emotional exploration over physical, but I know how valuable physical is, I had to blend it in to make me do the physical and make me want to do it.
Yeah. That's really interesting and appropriate. So yeah, my business partner, he's the functional medicine MD, and his quip on, what's the best exercise? And he says, whichever one you will do. So go find the one that's fun that you'll do every day. And I'm interested in your four guys there. I'll have to ask you more about that one. Well, the second spoke here then is family and friends, both. We're just talking about the key relationships in your life. You know, what are the things that you employ there? And you've got one kiddo now and one on the way. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So you got a family there, and then I know you've got close friends. So what are some of the consistent things that you do there to keep those relationships well?
I do a lot of repair work, and it sounds challenging to lead with. But I don't think in close relationships, if they're going to be intimate and vulnerable, you're going to have some rips. So they're the ones that are going to see the best of me and the worst of me, meaning they're the place I feel the safest to vent and to be veiled down. This is how I'm really showing up in the world right now. I'm not proud of it, but I'm just feeling this. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm going to say something that comes out sideways, it's usually going to be with the people closest to me, which is kind of ironic that it works that way.
Yeah.
But because of that, I had to be very intentional about my repair strategy, because it's not really about the rip, it's about the repair. We're going to have challenges in our relationships, especially our closest relationships. It's more, what do we do to make sure people know we're aware of it and we're willing to do something to make it better? I had one of those this morning. So last night I got home. I was tired from travel. We'd been gone for a while, came home for a day, was gone for three, back home. And I came in and I was excited to see my wife and son, but I was also kind of tapped out with words. I'd been talking all day long.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to talk. Well, they hadn't. They wanted to talk and they were excited to see me. And they didn't get, hey, you know what? Daddy's been working all day and I really, they didn't get an empathetic response. They got a stress response.
Yeah.
And I kind of just shut it down and stonewalled them a little bit. And I knew it in the moment and I couldn't really stop it. And I usually will try to do it before I go to bed, but I didn't last night. I went to bed and we were all a little stressed, as if I can't speak for my 18-month-old son, but I'm sure he picked up on some of it too. But I know my wife was. And so it was the first thing I did this morning. I simply just sat down and had a talk with her. I owned every ounce of it and said, here's what I'm going to try to do a little differently when I know I'm coming off the road. And she felt heard. We had a good connected moment and we were able to repair it and move on. So the repair strategy is one of my key assets.
That is brilliant and good for me to hear as well. Confirming. Thank you. The next one is mental, just the mental side, which you spoke to a minute ago that with your guys, you hit the physical and emotional and mental, spiritual sides. But so on the mental, yeah, what is that? What's your focus there when you address that spoke?
I think we have to have a built-in process so that we can talk about it. So there are things called 360s, which I know you know about, that we typically do in business structures when we have people take a look all the way around them and figure out what parts are going well and what parts aren't. We need that in our personal life too. And I think if we don't wait until we do this once a year, every 5 years, when we're at some retreat and somebody's facilitating it, when we build that into our daily practice for the few people that are safe and that we trust, it's been a game changer for me. So honest process. And I've learned that it doesn't happen organically. You have to build it in and be intentional about it. So, and it's a little awkward, and it's absolutely okay, just because it's not what people do normally every day.
Yeah.
Well, find an outlet for honest process. Find some people you can do that with. And I like challenges. And so I give myself and the guys that I get to do a life with, these are good friends of mine, we give each other emotional challenges. And they would be, I want you to write a letter today to someone in your family who you feel like you'd express some gratitude to, and just give it to them. The next day might be, I want you to call your mom and share something with her that you're proud of her and the way she's showing up today. The next one might be, I want you to find a stranger and do something kind for them. Those are things that you hear happening on the tail end of campaigns. Like somebody will do a kindness campaign or something and motivate people to do a one-off. I like building that in to try to do it weekly. And don't make a production out of it. It's not like you have to tell everybody what you're doing. But if a few people know and you can process it, it really, I think, helps your emotional health grow.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of my favorite people, Shanti Feldhahn, with her kindness challenge and how that rewires our brains. And thanks to these sponsors for bringing us today's show.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together. And I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect. And they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests. And if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to think about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin, airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin.
Next one is financial, which interestingly enough, we did. I wasn't even thinking about this when we chatted before, that you're currently in the midst of some financial decisions and things, but whether you want to mention that or not, what are some of the things, you know, financially with that you have employed personally and with business, some of the things that you do to keep yourself well and on track there?
Yeah, I got so fortunate that my father was a good teacher in that space. Of all the things that he taught me, that was one of the things I think I was the most proud of. And he's still around, and I get to call him. I mean, he's the cheapest consultant I have for my business. And so I lean on him pretty hard. And he's always lived within his means. He's been fiscally conservative. He's been conservative with debt. And when he has it, uses it, he aggressively pays it down. And that's just been something that's been hardwired into me. And I know that's kind of rare, but I'm so grateful I had it, because it's helped me navigate life that way. And I just try to live by those principles. But I also am very susceptible to financial stress. So is the rest of the world. It's the number one stressor for about 80% of Americans, and it's the least talked about thing in counseling. And that always fascinates me. And primarily it's because a lot of us in the helping space, a lot of therapists are not good with money. And so we wouldn't necessarily counsel people on something we're not good at ourselves. No. But finance is one of the things that takes relationships down. It can be one of the first causes of divorce is when people aren't talking about money. So I find that with my wife, we just talk about it. And she's not one that wants to talk about it. She doesn't really want to know what's going on with money, but we talk about it. I shared with you at the top of the show, actually, or we recorded another show. Actually, it wasn't recorded, which I was thankful for, but I'll share it now. We're growing our business, and I just took on some debt to do that. And I'm excited I've got the opportunity to do it, but it still scares me to death. Because just the pressure and the responsibility of, yes, we're growing this beautiful service, and yes, it's a heck of a lot of responsibility when you sign that line. I think a lot of entrepreneurs get that, but there's a lot of wannabe entrepreneurs that underestimate that.
Agreed. Well, and you also...
So let me say, the strategy behind that is that when you checked in with me this morning and said, how are you doing, knowing I left the bank 30 minutes before our interview, I told you, honestly. So I don't need to sit on that and pretend like I got it. I'm seasoned, and taking risks like that don't bother me. Financial risk, I need to tell someone, like, yes, I'm human, and this stresses the heck out of me. And therefore, it doesn't compound, it offloads.
Next one's spiritual, which you again mentioned too, that's something you do with some guys as one part of it. But yeah, what kind of outline what you do as far as your spiritual habits?
I start every day with a simple prayer. I use a serenity prayer. I do it with myself. And I am a big believer in prayer and meditation. I like the relational side of prayer, but I also like the ritual side of prayer. But I like having honest, loose conversations. Some of my favorite prayers are when people don't know. And I said earlier that I am Christian, but I love when people don't know how to speak Christianese and they don't know the format and they just have this rambling, beautiful conversation. So I'll often do that in my work setting, is if I know somebody is not a believer, I'll ask them to pray for us just so I can, we can shake it up a little bit. So I like getting my spiritual tune-ups in a non-traditional way. I want to find people who live it and not just study it. And if I can find people who live it, whether they're under a construct of my belief system or not, I want to know them, spend time with them, understand what makes them tick so that they can pour into me spiritually. But it's a simple way. It's just starting every day in prayer. Starting every day in prayer meditation is a game changer for me.
Career is the next one. And that's an area I don't know a lot of your history. It sounds like it was kind of in the corporate, you know, business arena. And now you're still heavily, you own a big business, but you've obviously gone in this direction, probably have a lot of opportunities that come to you now. What are some of the, maybe some of the boundaries or parameters or things that you do to keep yourself well and not too deviating in your career?
Business is a simple one. It's mentorship. Mm. Without it, there's no way I'd be doing what I'm doing. And it was way more important to me than education. The education was a good foundation, but I wish they would have said that in undergrad and grad school, is that you, in my opinion, I've been successful as the mentors that I picked along the way. Wow. And I've still got them. I still have people I can pick up the phone and call when things are going really well and where they're not, so that I can process and share with. I try to constantly be microscoping the integrity of how we operate and make sure it lines up with the values. A lot of people speak values and market and advertise values, but how often do you audit your values? How often we try to do that as much as we possibly can. And I don't want my business to be this separate thing from my life. In a sense, we help people separate their professional and personal identities. But I want to go to work and come home a better person because of it. And I want to leave home and come to work a better person because of it. Yeah. And so if both of those environments can be nurtured along, they can be life-giving versus taking.
The last one here is personal. And this is the things that are just for you. I know it's all personal, but these are the things. It could be the fun. It could be the hobbies. I did see and really appreciated a post on Instagram. It showed you out, looked like kind of hunting gear. And you ended the statement with, "It's been in my blood for generations. I'm thankful for Mother Nature and her unique way of taking me back home." That resonates with me, absolutely. But I'm going to assume that that's one of the things that fits in there. But yeah, tell us just about the things that you do for fun, play, hobbies.
Anything outdoors. You nailed it. I grew up hunting and fishing in a small town in the South, and it's still just the anticipation and the waking up and before the sun comes up, and just being out in nature really makes me come alive. But I love anything that requires movement. I like sports. I love to hike and move, and I love doing things with people. So any really stimulating conversation is fun for me. So if I can find that in social circles, then it really pours into me personally.
Excellent, man. Thank you again, just for giving us a little bit of behind the scenes of what's happening with you. It's just a gift and incredibly inspiring, Miles. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you go, folks. Wisdom from a world influencer. I hope it just inspired you and opened up some other ideas for your own healthy habits. Again, you can connect with Miles and check out what he has to offer regarding your emotional wellness and fitness at onsiteworkshops.com. And if you got value from the show, leave us a review in iTunes for The Ziglar Show. If you do, I'll send you $10,000. Okay, not really, but the show's free, and it's really the best way that you can thank us and help others find us. All right, well, coming up next in show 662, we have our Q&A show. What is a negative truth about yourself that you would like to change? This is the question I posted on Facebook. It's a question I was concerned might not get a lot of responses because it's kind of asking a negative question, but instead we got inundated with incredibly frank responses. Here's a sampling. I'm patient, or I act emotionally to everything, I keep reacting poorly to my wife. I'm waiting for things to be perfect. I create too much drama. I procrastinate. I struggle to balance optimism versus reality. I build a wall and don't know how to have meaningful relationships. Okay, that wasn't one person. That was snippets from a lot of people. And it just kept on going. I mean, the struggle is truly real. Well, and those are just the clips. You're going to want to hear the details of what they share. They're tremendous. And from this, the question that arose was, is admitting really the first step? Obviously, it's valuable, but you'll want to hear what we get into on this conversation. Now, you are aware and actually admit, are you going to be a step closer to actually changing? Again, that's the focus. I had Michelle Prince join me to talk through the comments and this issue. Till then, folks, thank you as always for letting me walk with you as we inspire our true performance together.